Money makes the world go around, the world go around, the world go around. Money makes the world go around, it makes the world go round. A mark, a yen, a buck or a pound.
A mark, a yen,
a buck or a pound. It's all that makes the world go around, that clinking, clanking sound that makes the world go round. Money, 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 money.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Dennis Kelleher, who is the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog that has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. And Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as Chief Counsel and Senior Leadership Advisor to the Chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dennis Kelleher.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Very well. And while J.P. Morgan's Jamie Dimon apparently has agreed to a $13 billion settlement, 5 years after the housing bust, Rebecca S. Mayrone, a mid-level executive at the Bank of America's Countrywide Mortgage Unit, is being held liable by a federal grand jury for having saddled Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac with mortgage losses of over $1 billion. And you were quoted in a New York Times article recently about this, that you think it's just indefensible that prosecutors are going after the Rebeccas of this world. There was systemic fraud at these banks, and prosecutors are going after the minnows and not the whales. So is Rebecca Mayrone a minnow and Jamie Dimon a whale?
Well, there's no question Jamie Dimon's a whale, and there's no question that J.P. Morgan Chase, his bank, is a whale. It's the largest bank in the world, more than $2 trillion in assets, 250,000 employees across the globe. And if you read its own disclosure in its latest quarterly corporate filing, the so-called 10-Q, you'll see 10 single-space pages on just litigation facing the corporation, ranging from crimes allegedly committed in Italy, all the way to China, and a wide swath of illegality, wrongdoing, and possible criminality from coast to coast of the United States.
Well, it seems that a lot of these companies are putting aside a lot of money, aren't they? For example, Bank of America, which, of course, assumed Countrywide Financial and Merrill Lynch, they've taken more than $40 billion in expenses relating to mortgage securities. And J.P. Morgan, apparently, since 2010, have set aside $28 billion.
Well, that's true. They are putting aside money to start paying out on some of these wrongdoings that they did years ago, although, frankly, the reporting on J.P. Morgan is that many of these are not that long ago. And let's remember that the London whale trade, where the losses were over $6 billion directly and about $30 billion in market cap losses for shareholders, were just about 18 months ago. But the problem is not to let big numbers blind people to the reality. The $13 billion settlement that's being reported, negotiated between J.P. Morgan Chase and the Department of Justice is a big number and looks like a big number, but is not such a big number compared to the damage and illegality and wrongdoing that was done by the bank. And it's also not such a big number if you look at actually what it's made up of, and it's not even all cash. And we've put out a fact sheet on this. If people go to our website at www.bettermarkets.com, you'll find on our homepage a fact sheet that kind of details that $13 billion isn't really $13 billion. And, oh, by the way, the economic damage or the illegality done by J.P. Morgan Chase is many, many multiples of that. It may be nothing more than pennies or dimes on the dollar. We don't know yet. But the numbers should not eclipse egregious, widespread wrongdoing and possible criminality by many, many individuals, never mind the bank. And the individuals, of course, are all getting off unless you're the Rebecca of the world.
Well, just in terms of Rebecca Mayrone, she's a 46-year-old single mother who regularly worked a 12-hour day and was on the road 1 week out of every month. And she apparently sneaked out to take care of her 14-year-old daughter. to Girl Scout events and take her 19-year-old son to karate tournaments. And contrast the fact that she is going to jail, whereas she received apparently $1.2 million in bonuses. And that same year, Angelo Mazzello, the head of Countrywide, he cashed in $121.5 million in stock sales on top of his $22 million in compensation. And then 3 years later, without admitting any guilt, Mazzello paid a fine of $67.5 million to settle fraud charges with the Securities Exchange Commission, and $20 million of which was paid by Countrywide as a part of its contractual agreement. And then in 2011, prosecutors abandoned their investigation of Mr. Mazzello. So they're going after this mid-level executive at Bank of America's Countrywide mortgage unit, and he's got off scot-free. It really does, I don't know, it's just really upsetting that...
Well, I'll tell you, it should upset everybody in America who believes in justice, because there's supposed to be one standard of law in the country. There's not supposed to be one for the wealthy and well-connected of Wall Street, and then one standard of justice for the rest of America. Main Street gets the book thrown at it, and Wall Street gets coddled. And then, of course, they then claim they're being treated unfairly, and they need our sympathy. And you put it just right, which is Countrywide CEO Mozilla collected just about pocketed almost $150 million in 2007 alone. Now, Rebecca Marrone may well be guilty and may well deserve to have been found liable. She's not going to jail. It was a civil trial. But she may have done wrongdoing, and she should be held to account for that. But so shouldn't everybody else. I assure you, a junior person like Rebecca Marrone was not designing these programs, was not primarily profiting from them, certainly not compared to all her colleagues. And these programs and the profits from these programs flowed to dozens and hundreds of other people much more senior than her. And the failure of the Department of Justice and the SEC or anybody else to go after the senior individuals who actually profited the most from these activities and were involved up to their necks, at least in a requirement to supervise them, and not one of them have been held to account by this so-called Department of Justice or the SEC. That's a despicable dereliction of duty.
Again, I'm speaking with Dennis Kelleher, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog that has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street, and Dennis has held several senior staff positions with the U.S. Senate, most recently as Chief Counsel and Senior Leadership Advisor to the Chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. And I'm sure, Dennis, you saw the very good Frontline special that was done on Wall Street and why nobody's gone to jail. And a lot of the focus was on the Deputy Attorney General, who really did not equip himself very well in the Frontline documentary. He subsequently moved from the Justice Department to Wall Street. But what about his boss? I mean, his boss... the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, apparently had private meetings with Jamie Dimon when he was under scrutiny. So is the problem at the Justice Department?
Well, I think the Justice Department has been a key part of the problem during this entire administration. And I think history is going to judge Attorney General Holder incredibly harshly, not only for his complete and utter failure to direct the appropriate resources and people at the Department of Justice to investigate the Wall Street crash. And let's remember, it was the worst crash since 1929, and it has delivered this country the worst economy since the Great Depression. And for them not to be able to find one individual anywhere on Wall Street that might have broken the law criminally is an abdication of duty. And you referred to the Frontline show. It's called The Untouchables, and people should watch it. It's award-winning and spectacularly well done. And it did have Lanny Brewer, who was the head of the criminal division, sweating when asked questions about how he could not find anyone who committed a crime. And, of course, he came from a big law firm where he defended white-collar criminals and or people who are alleged to do wrongdoing, and he went right back there through the revolving door. Now, and yet Attorney General Holder has left. And it's reported that Attorney General Holder was in a conference room with his senior people going to be walking into a press conference to announce a lawsuit to be filed against J.P. Morgan Chase. And into that conference room, Jamie Dimon called and then offered substantial amounts of money to the Attorney General and Department of Justice to settle a bunch of lawsuits to prevent them from filing the lawsuit. This reported several weeks ago. And since then, it's been reported there are these private backroom negotiations between the most powerful banker in America, who heads the biggest bank in America, with the Attorney General of the United States himself and his senior people. And it's expected that soon, in the next few days, weeks, they're going to come out and announce the big deal they negotiated and cut behind closed doors. But how many people in the United States get to call the Attorney General, stop a press conference, prevent a lawsuit from being filed, and then negotiate a deal behind closed doors, which, and again, if you go to our website at bettermarkets.com, we've detailed this, a deal that's starting to look like an awfully nice sweetheart deal, even though it appears to be $13 billion. That's a double standard of justice that's built on crony capitalism, special access, undue influence, and connections that should not be justifiable in the United States, where the Department of Justice is supposed to apply the law without fear or favor.
And Dennis Kelleher, again, the president and the chief executive officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Are you suggesting that this $13 billion thing may be less than meets the eye, given J.P. Morgan's $2.4 trillion in assets?
Well, you know, the problem is we don't know, but it appears that J.P. Morgan Chase's liability here could range somewhere between $100 and $200 billion. Now, we don't know because it hasn't been disclosed which investigations, which lawsuits may be settled or for how much. But if you settle something for $13 billion and you had $200 billion of liability, that starts to look like a pretty sweet deal if you're J.P. Morgan Chase. And one of the things that we're insisting on is that if this comes to a deal and they announce it, they have to, and they should be required to, disclose with particularity every part of every lawsuit and allegation that's being settled and the amount of possible liability and what it's being settled for, so the American people can see for themselves that this wasn't a backroom sweetheart deal cut between the top so-called law enforcement officer of the United States and the richest, most powerful banker of the United States. And if that isn't done, if the details aren't provided and people can't judge for themselves, then we're going to know what the verdict really should be on these two people.
Well, I recall that Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan, is a close friend of Bill Clinton's. And, of course, Bill Clinton took the disastrous advice of his Secretary of the Treasury, who was a Wall Streeter, and they got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act that had existed since the Great Depression. And suddenly, shortly thereafter, we had this disastrous meltdown on Wall Street. And listening to you, Dennis, I'm wondering whether is this a class thing? Have we become a class society where billionaires are sort of above the law and that they kind of have access at the highest levels and interact in the great political and social salons of the country?
Well, it's certainly starting to look that way. You know, if you go to fundamentals, what happened here is we have the richest industry in the history of the world. And I don't think it's an overstatement that many of these people are pocketing amounts of money that would make the pharaohs of Egypt envious by comparison. And you have them amassing economic power to the tune that they want to protect it. And what they do is they then use it to purchase political power that enables them to amass more economic power. And it becomes a corrosive crony capitalism between the top of the economic class, largely located on Wall Street, and the political class. And you end up with this double standard of justice. And the other thing that's important to mention, both on the $13 billion possible settlement and otherwise, Ian, is that this is only a fine to the bank. It gets to use other people's money to pay it. The bank uses today's shareholders' money, and what they're really doing is buying a get-out-of-jail-free card for all their executives. There's no discussion in any of the reporting on the possible settlement that any specific individual will even be charged with a civil liability of any type. Well, I have news for Attorney General Holder. Banks don't break laws, people do. And without individual accountability, you don't just risk more crime, you incentivize, reward, and guarantee more crime. And that's as true on the Main Street street corner as it is on Wall Street, which has been on a crime spree for a decade, and they've done nothing about it.
Well, just to return to Rebecca Marone, the mid-level executive at the Bank of America's Countrywide Mortgage, who seems to be taking the fall here, you say she's not going to jail, but she's going to pay a price. And you're just pointing out that the $13 billion price that Jamie Dimon pays actually doesn't come out of his pocket. But what I thought was sort of touching in a way about Rebecca Marone was that after this whole disaster happened, she took a job with Bank of America where she spent her time working with people whose mortgages are under water, trying to literally redeem herself and redeem, her company and her bank for these liars loans and these fraudulent lending as best she could. I don't see that similar redemption happening on Wall Street. They seem just to be, the banks are bigger than ever in terms of too big to fail. And they're buying more and more of our politics and eviscerating Dodd-Frank. And rather than show redemption and humility, they seem to be showing arrogance and disdain.
You know, you put your finger on it because we at Better Markets fight for financial reform and fight to rein in Wall Street and protect Main Street. And one of the big questions that we often ask, I've actually written about it, is where are the statesmen? In years past and decades past, one of the great things about this country is that times of crisis or turmoil, individuals have stood up and acted against interest and did what's right, even when it cost them. And that, frankly, has been a big part of the ethos, not just of the country, but of the business elite in this country. And one of the shocking things about this crisis is there hasn't been a single financial statesman. There hasn't been a single person in a position of responsibility on Wall Street to stand up, own up to what they did, accept what they did, and say, for the better of the country, we're going to do better, and this is what we're going to change. And so what you have is the exact opposite, which is you have hubris and arrogance run amok. That's how 3 years after, and even more, the financial crisis in 2008, what is J.P. Morgan Chase doing betting $150 billion of depositors' money in 2012, 4 years after the crisis, in a complex high-risk derivatives bet that had a notional amount of $1 trillion? That's what's referred to in the paper as the London Whale bet that lost $6 billion plus a lot more of shareholders' market cap. That's 4 years after the crisis. Not only haven't they learned the lesson, they have denied the facts, they have rewarded themselves with additional historic bonuses, and then they've been arrogant about it. And what do they get as a punishment? They get the Attorney General of the United States, who says those too-big-to-fail banks, they're too big to enforce the law against them. And then he tries to walk that back, but now it looks like he's going to cut a deal that's going to make J.P. Morgan Chase's shareholders quite happy, because when it was leaked that there was a possible $13 billion deal, the stock didn't move at all. And that tells you that it's not going to hurt J.P. Morgan Chase at all. And right, that means it's one sweetheart deal.
Well, Dennis Kelleher, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thanks, Ian.
Again, I've been speaking with Dennis Kelleher, the President and Chief Executive Officer of Better Markets, Inc., a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit organization that promotes the public interest in the U.S. and global financial markets. Better Markets is a Wall Street watchdog and has been referred to as a persistent thorn in the side of Wall Street. Dennis has held several senior staff positions in the United States Senate, most recently as the Chief Counsel and Senior Leadership Advisor to the Chairman of the Senate Democratic Policy Committee. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the Y-axis, hidden motives in the undiscovered economics of everyday life.